appreciated those thoughts that were shared with us. God certainly has done a lot for us, has he not? Thought especially about that one phrase where he weighs the path of the just. And I am thankful for that, because God loves us so much that he weighs that, or he still directs us in that path. For this evening, I'd like to think about one of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, where Jesus went up on the mountain and he sat down and his disciples came to him. And it says that he shared these things to his disciples. It wasn't the multitudes, because here was a message for his disciples, and part of it we can understand because of what he says maybe in verses 10 through 12, where he talks about persecution. It says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted, and blessed are ye when all men shall speak, or when men shall revile you." And this was Jesus speaking to his disciples there on the mount. But verse 8 is the one I'd like to focus on this evening, where Jesus told his disciples this, and I think we could here this evening say that he is telling us this message as well, where he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, Jesus was the master teacher. He was the one that could give this message of blessedness to his disciples because he was pure. And we know that in our mortal flesh and in what we are encumbered with in living in our human body, that we are continually exposed to impurities. And we're talking now specifically about spiritual heart conditions that are pure. And so it's a good reminder for me, it's a good reminder for all of us, that I believe that Jesus is interested in us, in me, having a pure heart. And he doesn't stop there, but he goes on. The rest of the verses is important too. It says, "For they shall see God." Now, there are a lot of ways that we can see God. Now, we know that we do not physically see God in heaven, sitting on his throne, or wherever we are. But still, we see God through our spiritual eyes. We feel God's presence. We commune with him. He's near to us. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. He's with us in the closet when we pray. And we can spiritually see God through our open relationship with him. And I think that's why it's important that we have a pure heart, because only those will see God. And if we want to have a proper view of Christ's work on the cross, and we think of his shed blood, his broken body, his sacrifice of what he has done for us, like we are this weekend, then if we are going to see God in that way properly, then we're going to have to make sure my heart is pure. And so I'd like for us to think about this evening. What is pure? I was reminded of what impurities can do. It's been close to a month now where Ed and Julia from our congregation there, they had a little girl born to them and ended up in the ICU in the hospital. And my wife and I went to visit them the first time, and there is a barrier between the general public and who can go back in to see this baby. You actually have to be 18 years of old to be able to go back in. And I actually stayed out because Ed said that if he would come out, he has to scrub all up again to even go back in. And so that was fine. But the emphasis there in that environment was to maintain purity in that very critical time in that young child's life. Because unknowingly we could have carried germs into there, or if you had any type of a cold or illness or flu, you were not allowed back in there because of the potential that impurities could be taken back into that highly sensitive intensive care unit where there was weak babies. And every effort is made so that things are purified, so that that baby can prosper, can grow. Now, that is in a physical sense. There's a lot of measures being taken for physical sense. But how much more should we be concerned about our purity of our heart? And this evening, that's the approach I want to take, is our heart. Because the Bible says, "So let a man examine himself, and then let him eat." Yes, there is a measure where we need to look out for our brethren, our sisters. But I think that is done also as we look at ourselves. And are there impurities let through the door of my heart that stifle the growth, the development of my spiritual man, that hinders the development of my spiritual man to be able to see God as we actually should? I'm sure that we all have a desire to see God. There is within all of us and all a wonder that we have where we'd like to see the most supreme being. God is seen through not physical eyes as we think of seeing him, but rather with our spiritual eyes or spiritual man. And we have this promise here, Jesus' very words, where those who are pure in heart will see God. Now that can be, there's twofold to that. I believe it also means that at the end of our life, if we're pure in heart, we will go meet God face to face. And what a beautiful experience that will be. Think of that song. I don't remember how it goes, but I'll see my Savior first of all. That's all that comes to me. But we'll want to see him. That's what we're looking forward to. Spending eternity with him. But I'd like to suggest that unless we see him now with our spiritual eyes, it'll be difficult for us to see him then with our new eyes that we'll have. I'd like to turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? It's a very pertinent question to us. Now, I know this was the Old Testament and a little different worship experience, but I think it's pertinent in the fact that We are drawing near to God, and who is able to do that? The answer is in verse 4, He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Again, the thought comes out of a pure heart, and it has a direct connection. Now, I want to make this connection, lest I don't later. It says, there's two things. It says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. We cannot have a pure heart with dirty hands. Those are connected. And that brings out the part where our everyday life that we live does affect our spiritual inner man. And the impurities that we allow, defilement we allow, or that we don't take care of, that if our hands are dirty, our heart will be dirty. I think we understand that. I believe also that there is not really a question, in our minds at least, or there shouldn't be a question, if God sees me or God sees us. Rather, the question is whether I see God the way I should see Him. God has an all-seeing eye. The psalmist said that he could go to the deepest part of the sea, and even there, God will see him. Psalmist said also, I read this verse here, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. The question is, will I invite God to show me what he does see? We know, we have the knowledge that God is all-seeing. And sometimes I want to kind of shield myself from the facts of what God sees. You know, we want to get this close, but we don't want to go quite all the way because of what God may reveal to me and some things that I need to change or some impurities in my heart that he is asking to have full control over and wants to cleanse that. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Jeremiah, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. There cannot be any impurity in my heart and in your heart this evening without God knowing that it's there. I, the Lord, search the heart. And that is where he wants purity to be, is in the heart. Because we can wash our hands ever so clean and try to get them ever so clean. But unless we acknowledge our sin before God, our heart's still dirty. Now, maybe that's a direct contradiction to what I just said earlier about our hands being dirty, our heart's dirty. But I think we know that what we do affects our inner man. But we can try to clean our hands so that others won't see that they're dirty. But unless God cleans them, our heart is still going to be dirty. Or there'll be some impurities. We can see and we can find God if conditions are met. If we are diligent, if we desire with all our heart. Jeremiah also said, And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. God is able to be found, and he is able to be seen in the fact that we can know his will for our lives and be in awe of him. Pure in heart has the thought also, well, we've been talking about this already, but just to reiterate, clean in our thoughts and feelings. You know, it's more, in one sense, maybe it's more than just a condition of my salvation. And sometimes we, that condition must be there, but it's also a pathway that we're on. And it's clean in our thoughts. It's our habits, our feelings, our relationship with others. If there is something there that is standing in the way of my relationship with God, then that needs to be taken care of. There is a continual pull for our heart to be defiled. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. And he didn't stop there. And he said, it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is a verse that I've pondered on already, that it's some pretty strong language. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I think we can understand in a glimpse what he was saying, because as we know ourselves, it's so prone to going away from God. My heart, I find it that way at least, so prone to find self and follow him rather than take up the cross and follow Christ. But the very interesting fact is, this heart that is desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah, it's deceitful above all things, it says. Yet with this heart, we hold the pivotal condition of whether we will see God. Because Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. With this heart that's desperately wicked, that is deceitful, is the key whereby we can see God. Proverbs says that there's a generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There again, comes right back to this thing of deceitfulness. And I'm not here this evening to upset any peace that anybody will have. But the reality is that my heart is not naturally follow God. And God wants all of our heart. He wants it to be pure. I have some heart conditions that will see God, and I'd like to cover them. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is the first one, is the pure heart will see God. But I'd like to focus, maybe expand this just a little more on some other heart conditions. Now, we know that's all under the umbrella of a pure heart, but I'd like to expand that just a little bit. The heart conditions that will see God, the pure heart. James 1, verse 27, as we think of Jesus' words where he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. James 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. So if you want a pure heart and you want to be undefiled before God and the Father, it says, do this. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now we know in studying the scriptures that there's a lot of things we need to do. I don't like to use the word things, but there's a lot of work to keeping our heart pure. But here James says that it's important, if you want to have a pure heart, to visit the unfortunate ones, the needy ones. It mentions the fatherless and the widows that are in affliction. But I don't think he's meaning that if you have no fatherless, if you have no widows, then we're kind of free on that point. No. The The teaching is to visit those in need and help each other in those opportunities. And he says also to keep himself unspotted from the world. And that's a big order, because we live in the world. We live in this world, and we're attracted to things the world has to offer. And so many times I find that that's where the spots come into the impurities come into my heart, is from not keeping my life unspotted from the world. I like sometimes the things the world has to offer. And so I naturally do them. But I need to repent of that. I need to lay that down and again choose to take up the cross and follow Christ. There's a lot we could say about that. But we need to invite others to help. I need to invite others to help me stay unspotted from the world. And you know, that's a beautiful thing of a brotherhood, isn't it? That we help each other in this. And sometimes maybe we feel like we almost help too much, right? We're almost a little bit overboard in this. No, I don't think so. According to this verse, it is very important that we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Another heart condition is the diligent heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me." But he gives a condition. He says, "When ye shall search for me with all your heart." The half efforts, the 90% tries, the 95% tries, will not find God. But when we give all of our heart, when we search God with all of our heart, we will find him. It's a promise. And this evening, if you do not know where God is, if you have not found him, according to Jeremiah's, "When ye shall search for me with all your heart, you'll find God." I think we know a little bit what that's like. I do. God seemed just a little bit far away. But finally, when you got serious about it and said, "Okay, I know, there's something here I need to take care of." But you didn't want to go there because you kind of knew what God would require. And the freedom that comes when you laid that down and let God have your whole heart. I think you know what I'm talking about too. That God is to be found. We can find him. The third heart condition that will see God is the prepared heart. I read these verses too, but I'll read them again. Psalm 24, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" The answer is, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." It's a prepared heart. It's somebody that has given forethought. And it's not like you almost missed the exit and you suddenly found God. No, I'm not saying that people don't have instances that they weren't planning where they have found God. That happens. But to have a vibrant relationship with our God, it will take time and it will take some effort. It's a prepared heart. 1 John 3, verse 3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." The scriptures are speaking for themselves. If we have the hope of eternal life within us, we, according to this verse, we will purify ourselves. And we know, I think, what that means is we don't take our own ability and clean ourselves, but we allow God to come into our heart, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And then we are cleansed even as He is pure. Another heart condition that we'll see God. Well, one more thing I want to say on the prepared heart. And maybe this gets said a lot, but I'm going to say it again, that a prepared heart is one that reads the Bible and has a devotional time with God. And I do not stand up here as a perfect model of that. I have room to grow in my personal time with God. But it is very important. The heart that is pure, the heart that's prepared, is a heart that's full of the Word of God. If our heart is full of the world, if it's full of business, if it's full of sports, or if it's full of fun, if it's full of, you put whatever in there, there will not be much room for the Word of God to dwell in it. And that's the way I find it. That until I empty that all out, and then let God have His way, these other things fall into place. A prepared heart. Now I want to talk about an obedient heart. Another heart condition that sees God. Psalm 19, verse 8 is a verse I read a lot over the years. We could probably say it by memory. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We're talking about heart conditions that see God. Obedience is so vital to having our eyes open to where we can see God. It says that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. But it says here too, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord is pure, and it illuminates our eyes where we can see. And I think we'll see God. That's who we'll see. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto, it goes all the way to, unfeigned love of the brethren. It includes that. You're not finished until you go all that way to unfeigned love of the brethren. And then see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And I read that verse already. But another part of obedience is doing simply what is right. Sometimes the commitment is what carries us through when the feelings are waning. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When the feelings are waning, the commitment carries us through to obedience, and obedience enlightens the eyes. Another heart condition that sees God is a peaceful heart. And of course, we know that a heart condition that is pure, that is obedient, that is prepared, and it's all these other things that I talked about, it has peace. There is peace there. It's a peaceful heart. There is rest between myself and God. There's not conflict. There's not a... I think of the song where it says, look full in his wonderful face. There's no hiding anything. It's an open relationship. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Again, we're talking about heart conditions that see God. This peaceful heart is not only between myself and God. Of course it's there. That's where it starts. But it's also horizontal. Follow peace with all men and holiness. And it says that without which no man shall see the Lord. And I think it's reflecting on peace too, not just holiness, where you shall see the Lord. Question that I need to ask myself this evening is, my heart pure before God? Do I have the heart conditions that will see God, that do see God? As we think of being pure in heart, by what standard is pure, pure enough? Job asked, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? And I don't know what all Job was facing, but we read what Job was facing, and it possibly in his trials and in his drawing near to God, he wondered how long yet this was going to happen. He possibly thought that he was, and he was, right with God. We know that he was right with God before these trials came to him. But he asked the question, shall a man be more pure than his maker? Well, we know that's not possible. We need God. We need Christ's work for us to even be pure. And I read that verse earlier. If I can find it again. Yes, 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That is the standard by which we are purified, is Christ and the work of God in the lives of men. But as we think about this standard, God has set the standard, not us. And if you are like me sometimes, you wrestle with that standard, with that bar, thinking it's just a little bit too high. And I give a little bit of room to myself because I reason in my mind that the circumstances are a little bit different for me, and that I'm easier on myself than what the scriptures are for me. But let's keep the standard where God wants it to be. And you think about gold. Most people know that the K that's on gold stands for carat. And that's a measure of purity. The K on gold is a measure of purity. Something that is 100% gold is 24 carat. Something that is 12 carat is 50% gold, and so on. The rest of, if it's 12 carat, it's 50% gold, the rest of it being impurities, or it can be hard metals like silver, bronze, or brass. You know, you rarely ever see 24 carat gold jewelry because pure gold is so soft. You rarely see 24 karat gold. But I'd like to suggest that our heart be 24 karat gold. It's soft. It's pliable. There's no impurities. There's no hard metal in it. But God is able to mold it. He's able to touch it. He's able to communicate with it. And then that heart will see God. Genuine gold will stand up to your attempt to conduct a natric acid test at home. If you would make a tiny mark on the piece of gold to penetrate the surface, and then drop a small amount of liquid nitric acid on that scratch and wait for a chemical reaction, fake gold will immediately turn green where the acid is, but real gold will not. That's the way they do an acid test. You probably heard that term already. The acid test is, that's what they're doing. Put a scratch on it, put acid on it, and if it turns green, it's fake. Or vinegar. If it's not real gold, the metal will discolor. Job said in Job 23, verse 10, he said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job passed the acid test. There were marks on Job. There was hard things he faced. But when the acid of hard times, or the acid of reverses, and the vinegar of unpleasant circumstances touched his life, it did not discolor Job. I think of these tests as real life circumstances that come to us. There are hard things that penetrate our surface, and the acid of Satan will determine if we are real gold or if we're fake. There are sometimes vinegar experiences that the people of God go through. But will it mar us or not? Is my heart condition in such a place, in such a condition, that when those extremely hard things come, I still see God in life, even in vinegar experiences? And the question that God knows the answer to this evening, to my heart, is what carat gold I have. How would God rate me tonight? I'm going to read a couple of verses in Ephesians 5. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That is the standard by which God wants pureness to be in a brotherhood and in our lives. As I think of what God would value my heart, He wants my heart to be pure. I mentioned already that we look forward to seeing God literally at the end of life. And what a beautiful time that will be. And sometimes those acid tests and those vinegar experiences of life make us look forward more to when we shall see him as he is. But I'd like to just leave this verse with us yet this evening as they think about seeing God, as we think of heart conditions. And of course, we need to see him now through his word and through his work in our life. There's different ways that we see God. But it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that." It's something we know. "When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Then we can see him face to face. I trust this evening that we see God, and that our heart is pure. Yes, we have things at times that we need to let him cleanse. But may we, as we search our lives, be open with him that he can do that in our lives. Let's kneel together for prayer.